We're talking about how to ensure kids don't fall through the cracks during these difficult times and community organizations rising up, stepping up. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For more than 40 years, Running Rebels Community Organization has provided mentorship and safe places for Milwaukee youth. It runs tutoring and mentoring programs in 7 Milwaukee public schools. What do you want to know about how Running Rebels works? Is there a group in your community that is filling a crucial need? What programs do a remarkable job at reaching kids where they're at? How do you help families under stress? 800-642-1234. Mikkel Harrell is a mentor with Running Rebels at North Division High School in Milwaukee. Mikkel, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. We also have John Rakowski, who is Director of Prevention Programs at Running Rebels. John, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Well, John, let's start with you. How have you pivoted in these times? I mean, you were providing mentors in schools, but now in this virtual world, how do you do that?
Well, we really had to look at doing two things. One is continuing to fulfill a partnership with MPS and serving MPS students by having our mentors pivot and find ways to continue to engage students predominantly through, you know, morning check-in calls, supporting them in online classrooms. But another key component that we as an organization were really committed to in respect to serving all the young people we engage is doing our best to continue to provide some in-person space in programming, following all the guidances that were out there to make sure some of our most in-need students had that continued connection. It meant that we had to work with or see less students than we were used to. It meant that we had to be flexible in respect to, you know, where we met students, because transportation really was something we were no longer able to use the way we were used to.
Yeah.
But overall, I think that that devotion to continuing to engage young people meant that we just had to be flexible.
Mikkel, what has your experience been as a mentor at North Division High School? How have you had to change your approach?
My experience has been great. One thing with mentoring and dealing with the youth, and you just kind of learn how to adapt. So coming into the virtual aspect, I mean, we didn't have a set plan. We didn't know how we were actually going to roll it out. So we just kind of just rolled with the punches, and it actually kind of benefited us a little bit better than being in person, because the virtual aspect actually allowed us to actually kind of build more relationships with some of the parents, and then also with the teaching staff as well too. So I would say my experience has been great. You know, the virtual aspect was new for all of us. But I think that has its pros and has its cons, but I definitely would grade on a higher level saying that it was actually a good experience.
Mikkel, can you kind of walk us through what your morning looks like and what those calls are like, or what you do in the morning with your mentoring?
Okay. Normally my morning starts with a couple of wake up calls. So when we're mentoring, so my site, North Division, we deal with maybe roughly between 45 to maybe 55 students. So within those students, we have some that don't like to get up for class in the morning. We have some that do take care of their business. Then we also have some that just kind of straggle along throughout the day. So mostly my morning starts out with, I give a call to maybe about 5 to 6 students. Just those are my ones who need the wake up call to make sure that they're in first block. As long as they're up for the first class, they're pretty much good throughout the day. So my morning starts with me giving them a call, making sure that they're up, making sure that they're in class, even if they don't have the cameras or anything going. Just pretty much making sure that they're up and that they're going to get into class. So then once I get into the building and get into the site, I give the classes maybe about 10, 15 minutes before I jump into classes. So those individuals who I call, I know which class that they're supposed to be in. So I just go around into the Google Classroom and just check to make sure that those students are there. If they're not there, then I might follow up with a text message like, hey, where are you? Or I might follow up with a call like, hey, I'm in class. Where are you? You know, sometimes like, hey, I'm right in class. I'm like, no, you're not. I'm actually right here waiting on you. And so just kind of me just following up with them. And throughout the day, maybe some students, as I go through the classrooms and I might see a couple kids who's not in class, who's supposed to be in class, I give them a call or give them a text message, just to remind them we're seeing what's going on, why they're not in class, do they plan on getting in class? And sometimes when they have emergencies going on, I'm able to relay that to the teachers, and the teachers are let me relay a message back to the students. So pretty much the mornings is just pretty much just checking in, just trying to make sure everyone is where they need to be and where they're supposed to be.
We're talking with Mikel Harrell, who's a mentor with Running Rebels Community Organization at North Division High School in Milwaukee. John Rakowski here, Director of Prevention Programs at Running Rebels. It supports at-risk youth in Milwaukee. You can join in. What questions do you have about Running Rebels? What program is working at your school to ensure students stay on track? 800-642-1234. John, what I'm hearing from Mikel is there is a lot of checking in, a lot of phone time, screen time, making sure that you have those moments of connecting with students. How important is that?
Well, I think connection is everything, and that we've learned can be done in a lot of different ways. I don't think anything quite replaces the opportunity that you get when you're face-to-face with somebody. But as you've heard from Mikel, like that, frequency of phone calls or just being in online places, you know, adds an element of accountability, but it also really shows that someone cares and someone's really checking in on you. And I think in part why our mentors are so successful in working with our young people is young people know they truly care. And it's not just coming from a place where they feel like people are doing it as a job. And I think that's just an important distinction I want to add here is our mentors are paid, you know, full-time professional staff, and sometimes mentors are seen in the context of being volunteers, and that's fantastic, and those programs do a lot of great work, too, in our communities and communities throughout the state. But in respect to what you've heard Mikel say, it also is important for young people not quite to know, you know, they need to know young mentors available for them. But they might not know, you know, Mikel might make an 8 o'clock call to make sure someone's up, but he's also going to be there throughout the afternoon to make sure that they're where they're supposed to be. And if they're having any troubles, that they're getting some support in terms of connecting with what's being offered right now. But connections and relationships are everything when it comes down to mentoring work.
And it really sounds that, you know, these mentors are kind of first on the scene. If a problem arises, if an issue arises, that they're able to be there and respond to it and figure out what are the immediate next steps to get through this obstacle. Mikel, is that maybe how you feel in this role sometimes?
Yes, I definitely feel like we're the first responders a lot of the times with our role. I know throughout the school year, you kind of build a relationship with certain teachers, and teachers know you have a certain relationship with certain students. So sometimes before a teacher give a phone call to a parent, they might relay a message to you to relay a message to the student. And you know, we do that. I do that a lot, just relay the message to the student, because the student and the teacher know that if that message gets to that parent, it might not go so well for that student. So I think a lot of the teachers do know what we're doing and how we're doing it, and they do kind of trust us a lot to relay those messages and support the students. So I feel like we do consider ourselves kind of first responders, because we actually do kind of know what's going on and how we can navigate and try to work with the youth to come up with a plan to even solve the issue.
And John, these mentors are able to log into the actual classroom, the actual students' classes. Is that a unique opportunity here that, you know, presents a way of connecting in the pandemic?
Most definitely. I think our partnership with Milwaukee Public Schools really puts us in a privileged position where our staff are able to engage young people in the same classrooms that their teachers are setting up and leading. And it puts our staff in a position to just help make sure that all the young people in those spaces are receiving an additional layer of support. I mean, there's been opportunities where staff have followed young people out of the virtual classroom to a breakout group or session to kind of talk about something that maybe has triggered them or something that is really just hard for them to understand in the group context, and that's been really valuable. But it also, to Mikkel's point, has really afforded staff the opportunity in those spaces to have some dedicated office hour time, if you will, with teachers to kind of game plan a little bit. I'm not in the role Mikkel is in, but as I hear our staff do what they do, I really hear a lot of check-ins with staff and teachers about kind of the game plan ahead. And I think in this past year in particular, that's been invaluable, particularly as information needs to get to young people. Having our staff support teachers and making sure that message is unified to young people has been really, really important.
John Rakowski is Running Rebels Prevention Programs Director. Mikkel Harrell is a Running Rebels mentor at Milwaukee's North Division High School. Do you see a need for Running Rebels in your district? What do you want to know about how to get programs like these off the ground? Have you volunteered to help kids in the pandemic? What have you done to lend a hand? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we explore programs that are helping kids weather the pandemic, stay academically engaged. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're focusing on Running Rebels community organization that got its start in Milwaukee in 1980, providing a positive outlet for youth. Do you work with a youth organization that has pivoted in the pandemic? What services are crucial for kids now? How are you reaching kids and teens when school is virtual? And what questions do you have about Running Rebels offerings? Join in 800-642-1234. John Rakowski heads up Running Rebels Prevention Programs. Mikkel Harrell is a Running Rebels mentor at Milwaukee's North Division High School, and they're with us for 10 more minutes. John, how effective is Running Rebels at getting kids engaged in their classes? Is that something you measure? How do you measure your outcomes?
So I think this year has been a completely different beast in terms of measurements and outcomes. And that's something through partnership with Milwaukee Public School that we're looking at attendance numbers and metrics. Really, I think right now we're focused on making sure that we do our best in connecting young people to every anything that school has to offer. And sometimes that means starting with where young people are, where they're at. And as you heard Mikkel say earlier, like there are some young people who just need a lot of encouragement who are kind of taking this in small doses. At the same time, we're measuring impact and success in terms of being able to help our young people connect to other things that they and their families knowably need right now, and that's continued support, that's access to fresh food aid, that's knowing where resources are in our community. So in respect to this year, I think evaluation in terms of impact is really going to be much more on the human side and the testimonies of families and individuals. Whereas in the past, yeah, we were able to dive into attendance metrics and GPAs, but it feels kind of difficult to take that approach just where we're at right now. Yeah.
Mikkel, you've mentioned more connections with parents, connections with teachers. Do you think the pandemic has allowed you to have a deeper, a fuller knowledge of what students are and their families?
Yeah, it does. I think before the pandemic, I think we also did a good job of having a pulse of what the kids' home life were, what the kids actually go through outside of school. But also the pandemic did kind of, raise an eyebrow for certain things that we didn't know that they were actually going through. And, sometimes when kids were coming to school, just being in school for those 6-7 hours was their release point, their break from their home life, their break from their home situation. And them being there virtually, you can hear the frustration on everyone's part at some point in time. But it definitely gave us an insight on what type of things they deal with on a day-to-day basis, even though as adults, we kind of deal with things ourselves, but pretty much not to the level that they are. But it definitely gave us an insight and kind of gave us different avenues to navigate, to give them outside sources as well too.
Yeah. John, as you mentioned, Running Rebels has a physical location, a physical site. What students go there?
So we're really fortunate now to have two physical locations on Milwaukee's north side. And we did have to shut down programming for a few months last year, but really quickly, as of last summer, opened up the physical locations to young people across the majority of our programs, including the Violence Free Zone program that Mikkel staffs is at North Division. And really, in the past several months, what we've been able to do really successfully in that in-person space is give young people a consistent and supported place to log into classes, to receive what MPS and their instruction is offering, to have a little bit of social interaction, socially distanced and so on. But just not at the capacity or numbers that we're used to. I mean, on any daily basis now, we're maybe in a position where we have 20, 25 young people throughout the day in the building, and that's a very small number compared to what we would have in an after-school time, you know, in a non-COVID environment.
You know, many districts have struggled with transportation, community organizations working through the transportation issue. What workarounds have you put in place?
Well, at first or initially, we really just had to suspend it until we were able to get more guidance and better understand the virus and what we needed to do to keep our staff and young people safe. We are at a place now where if it's one staff and one young person in a vehicle or one staff and multiple young people, given they're from the same household, we want staff and young people to be masked. We're having vehicles wiped down. If the weather permits, we're encouraging the cracking of a window for ventilation. But we're really trying to be strategic in how we offer our transportation, because ultimately it's a limited resource that we have. We've also, as an organization, focused in on the young people that are more proximal to our two physical locations in Milwaukee's Harambe and Lindsay Heights neighborhoods. And their ability to walk or get here on their own has been a big help. And we've also really, you know, encouraged and asked parents to help us to the best of their ability when possible. Maybe not getting a young person here and home, but if they could do one way every now and then, you know, that just allows us to manage what we need to manage with a little bit more ease to support as many young people as possible while remaining safe.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with John Rakowski, who is Director of Prevention Programs at Running Rebels Community Organization, supporting at-risk youth in the Milwaukee. Mikkel Harrell is a mentor with Running Rebels and based at North Division High School in Milwaukee. Let's talk, Mikkel, about learning loss. And this is something that is really on the minds of not just educators and parents and lawmakers, but what are you seeing in the kids? Are they falling behind?
In my opinion, I don't feel like some of the kids are not falling behind, because I just kind of see some of the work that a lot of the kids actually is doing. I mean, it is difficult learning in a virtual space compared to being in school and everything. So, I mean, I know that it is a learning loss, but I mean, I necessarily don't see that big of a gap, because some of the kids I deal with, they actually retain a lot of information very well. But I mean, if you actually have them take a test, then data probably would prove something totally different. But I just know just learning in the virtual aspect is totally different than being in the actual classroom. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure it is going to be some type of loss with the students. Then also just thinking last school year, when we first went into the pandemic, I think it was almost like a month and a half before they decided to even go into the virtual aspect and everything. So,
John, what is your take on learning loss when you watch these kids?
I think the one part of learning loss that I really hope we don't lose sight of, academics is really important, but I think of the social skills and some of the things that our mentors and staff throughout the course of the year really work hard on working with young people on, in terms of regulating maybe their emotions or managing their temper or learning how to seek out help when they're feeling anxious. And without having that physical connection to school, I feel like that's one area that there might be some significant loss. And I think that it's been really impactful to have mentors do their best they can through the virtual spaces and phone calls and limited in person, kind of continue to work on some of those skills, but it's those soft skills. It's how we connect with each other, how we communicate with each other, that I think are equally important to consider when we talk about learning loss relative to academics.
John, very quickly, what advice would you give for teachers, for schools that are struggling to reach their students and aren't working with a program like Running Rebels?
No, you're not alone. This work is hard no matter how you're trying to connect with young people. So I would start by connecting with each other, however that looks for you and your community or your school. Every school we work with is a network of awesome teachers and awesome support staff in that school that we're fortunate to work with. And there's also other community partners that we bring to the table. So I would start with what you have and hopefully snowball that into a broader network. And you can always reach out. We're a big small town in Milwaukee in a certain way, but so are we as a community. So
an email
or a phone call can get a lot going.
Thank you both for joining us. John Rakowski, Director of Prevention Programs at Running Rebels Community Organization. Mikkel Harrell, Running Rebels Mentor at North Division High School. Just ahead, we talk with the Boys and Girls Clubs. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're checking in with Boys and Girls Club to learn how they're delivering services and reaching youth in these times. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. So since its beginnings in Hartford, Connecticut in 1860, Boys and Girls Club has provided a safe place for generations of kids and teens. Clubs provide mentors, youth development programs in these critical non-school hours. What does this mean when so many schools went virtual in the pandemic? Are you involved in a Boys and Girls Club? What has it done for your life? Join in 800-642-1234. Mary Johnson is a mentor with the Boys and Girls Club of Oshkosh. She's on its board of directors. Mary, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you, Kate.
Good morning. Tracy Ogden is here as well, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Oshkosh. Tracy, welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having us. Good morning.
Good morning. How has your organization had to shift gears since the pandemic started? How are you delivering your services?
Well, when the community and everybody shut down, the first thing our Boys and Girls Club said was, okay, how do we reach our kids? We shut our doors in March, and we have kids that, look to the Boys and Girls Club to have dinner here every night, to have homework help. For our Boys and Girls Club, we focus on basic needs, so it's showers here at the club. So our staff got to work and, divided and conquered. We reached out to all of our kids and families, making sure that they had food at home. We sent meal baskets home. We did virtual tutoring. We did programming virtually. It was phone calls to these families to say, is there anything else we can do for you? What else do you need at home? Cleaning products, hygiene products, food, you name it, we sent it over to our families to make sure that they were all being taken care of.
Give us a sense, Tracy, how many kids do you serve? How many families do you serve?
So our Boys and Girls Club here in Oshkosh, we serve about 1,700 families.
Wow.
Between our main site and our after-school care site. And we have a lot of families that, we're able to go through this transition and, smoothly. They had, maybe one parent that worked, but one parent was home. But when you have parents that work or you maybe have a single family home, these kids needed the extra support.
Mary, what have you found as a mentor with the club? What has that been like in these times?
Well, it's been different, challenging in some ways, but with the aid of the technology, we've been able to continue connecting with our kids. We do Zoom meetings instead of meeting in person, and we're still connected. We're still there for them. We're still checking in, making sure that they are getting the services they need, getting the homework help they need, and touching base with them. Thank goodness for the Zoom. We love it, and we're there with them during some pretty difficult times.
What have they talked about with you? What can you share about the things that you've heard on these Zooms?
When you're dealing with teenagers, of course, there's the social aspect. They miss their friends. They miss connecting with their friends. Some are struggling with getting their homework done. It's tough to do it online. If you're not a self-starter, maybe you're falling behind a little bit. Others really enjoy working from home and do quite well. It's, you know, every personality responds to this a little bit differently. I think it's been hard not being with their friends. It would be the first comment that they would say is, you know, I miss hanging out, and when can we get back together again? And when is it going to be normal again? Those types of questions.
Oh, sure. Tracy, how have you organized your physical locations to be able to accept the kids? And now since Oshkosh is back in the classroom full time.
Absolutely. So we made the decision in June to reopen our doors as safely as possible for the kids that really needed us the most. We rearranged our rooms to make them more classroom style. So we only had 9 kids in a room with one staff member for, 40 hours a week, so that there wasn't any concern about, different groups of kids being together. The look on those kids' faces when they finally got to come back in June, they were just happy, just happy to be with other kids, happy to be able to be outside playing. We turned our games room and our kid, where our kids would have lunch and dinner into classrooms so that they were spread out. But it was, it was great. And as we went back into school in the fall, Oshkosh had made the decision to go virtual every other day. So we made the decision to keep our Boys and Girls Club open from 7 to 5. So if working parents needed a place for their kids to go, if they weren't in school, they could be here. And our staff became tutors, and they became Zoom experts on getting these kids into their classes every day and making sure homework is done. When we have kids that we have concerns are not being taken care of at home or not being fed properly or not being watched after, having them here in our club all day just makes us feel like we're doing our part to get these kids through this pandemic.
Yeah, and certainly giving stability in a time where there is so many unknowns and so much uncertainty that these families are going through. Tracy, how do you see the mental health of these kids?
You know, that's a very, very big topic, for everybody right now. And you see it. I see kids who, are struggling on Zoom meetings because they can't hear the teacher properly. And it's not the teacher's fault. They can't understand the question. They don't know how to stop and ask. And just the struggle that they are failing classes, where, kids who have never failed before are now failing classes because they can't engage like this. This is such a different platform for them. And I think about how burnt out we are after a day of Zoom meetings. Well,
yeah.
These kids are burnt out too. So, our club has really taken the approach of our staff are really paying attention one-on-one with these kids. They're spending extra time with them. We partner with Catalpa, so we've been able to partner with them to make sure that our kids can get into telehealth and, they can speak with a counselor if they need it. It's been a real struggle, and the struggle is real. I mean, for those who think these kids have not been affected by this and just think that they've been able to home and this is, be home and this is a little vacay for them, absolutely not. They need structure. They need their friends. Mary's right. They miss other kids. They miss being kids and getting to go outside and play or being in the gym and play. And, us as Boys and Girls Clubs all across the state and across the country, that's what we provided these kids, is that normalcy, the getting to laugh, the getting to talk, the getting to play, and then the getting to learn.
Yeah, it's certainly those little things, those social interactions that we found are so critical. Tracy Ogden is CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Oshkosh. Mary Johnson is here as well, mentor with the club, serves on its board of directors. Have you been part of helping students in need during the pandemic? How are you reaching them? What is working? What are the biggest challenges you're seeing in students' lives now? 800-642-1234 to join in. Ryan is joining us from Sparta. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, I'm a resource and development director for a club in Sparta, And I had to call and say, Oshkosh is the gold standard. We look at them and try to duplicate what they do. And we've done many of the same things at our club. Currently, I'm driving into work now to do our food box giveaway program. We do it every Wednesday from 11 until we run out. And we teamed up with a food pantry to give away food to the community and our club members. And it's just another way we've been able to stay viable to the community during this hard time. And I echo all the things they've said. Virtual learning, mentoring has been huge for these kids. And we're really one of the only shows in town. So It's really big for our clubs to be here for these kids.
Yeah. Ryan, how has your club had to change and adapt? I mean, you're resource and development director.
Oh, I mean, you want to hold a big person fundraiser. That's not going to happen. Right. We've had to do it virtually. We actually did a virtual run for one of our runs that we do every year. It wasn't obviously as successful as a normal run, but at least we did something and put something on. Meetings, just Zoom meetings is all that we do now. We're starting to get back more in the club with vaccinations going up, but it's been very difficult. It's not an easy time to be resource and development and fundraising, that's for sure.
Ryan, thank you so much for calling in. Tracy, you know, Ryan saying you're the gold standard club, but Ryan really presenting how difficult it is to still deliver these services and have the resources in place.
Oh, absolutely it is. And, you know, I think one of the best things that has come out of this is that exactly a year ago, we started having weekly calls with all the CEOs in the state of Wisconsin. And it was, okay, this is a new norm. What is everybody doing? And that's, I think, one of the best parts about Boys and Girls Clubs is we all lift each other up and say, how are you helping kids? How are you helping kids? Oh, my gosh, we should try that. I think that's a great idea. So we've had these weekly calls, you know, and it's been a great, you know, opportunity to share thoughts, share stories, share stresses. You know, it's been a very long year for our staff, you know, navigating this new normal. But it's been a really positive experience to be able to work together and get to know each other better.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, staff, certainly leadership needs support systems as well in order to figure out how to make all of these systems work for the kids.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I will say that, you know, there are 4,000 Boys and Girls Clubs across the country, and the clubs in Wisconsin are extraordinary. The leaders in this, you know, in these clubs are, you know, they're selfless and they're doing everything they can to say, okay, we've called kids, we've reached out to kids, you know, do I need to go to their house and drop off food? Okay, we're going to do that. Do they have the school supplies that they need? You know, we've dropped off Christmas gifts, we've dropped off Thanksgiving meals, we've dropped off, you know, anything and everything that they might need to sustain during this time.
Mm. Jackie is joining us from Appleton. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, I just wanted to reiterate the fact that a lot of people assume that especially teens are just having the best year of their lives, and being an online educator at the moment, I work for a company called Elevate K-12, so we service anywhere in the United States of America, mainly low-income areas, and I always, every day, the first 5 minutes of class, take time to do a check-in and say, where are you at, 0 to 10, show me on your hands, because I need to know where they're at before I can teach them anything. And we're so grateful for programs like the Boys and Girls Club that exist throughout the nation, because it saves so much more than people think. My mother is a nurse at a local hospital, and she said within the first few months of the pandemic, the mental health floor on the hospital was overflowing with teenagers.
Oh.
I just don't think people realize how intense it gets. It has gotten for them.
Oh, Jackie, thank you so much for your perspective. And Mary, you know, these check-ins that you do in mentoring, really important to know, you know, what these students are going through emotionally. And I understand you mentor a girl in ninth grade.
That's correct. I do. And we Zoom, you know, once a week at this point, or we meet in person at the club. And we're just starting to get back to meeting in person. Now that they're back in school, that's something that she's interested in doing again. You bet. Checking in is important. You know, as everybody has said, these kids are they're doing what they've been asked to do academically as best they can, but they're really not in their happy place, if you will. They're struggling with their social they're missing it. You know, that's what teenagers are all about, and they just aren't feeling the connection that they've had with their friends. You know, you're wearing a mask all the time when you're in school. You're not seeing, you know, the smiles, the, you know, the feedback of how you're doing or how you feel about seeing that friend. It's a very different environment for them, and they're more than ready to get back to the old norm.
Mm. Mary Johnson and Tracy Ogden are with Boys and Girls Club of Oshkosh. We're checking in on how it is reaching kids in these difficult times. Teachers, have you found yourself having to be more than just an educator to your students? How are you doing that? As students return to the classroom, what new supports were critical? Has a local organization like Boys and Girls Club met a new pandemic need for kids? Tell us about it. Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about the Boys and Girls Club of Oshkosh, which set down roots in the community in 1970. When the Oshkosh Area School District went back to the classroom, the Boys and Girls Club of Oshkosh ramped up their programs, their after-school programs. Is there a community group that you want to commend in going the extra mile to help kids? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Mary Johnson is a mentor with the Boys and Girls Club of Oshkosh, and Tracy Ogden is CEO. They're with us for 10 more minutes. Tracy, I want to ask you about access to the vaccine. Have your staff been able to get access, being frontline educators?
Yes, we were. We worked with our local health department, which we have worked with through this entire pandemic, trying to navigate, you know, reopening and keeping kids safe. And they were wonderful. I, you know, reached out to them a couple months ago, got our staff, you know, registered and ready to roll. And we, you know, got the email that our staff could go. So we've actually now gotten two opportunities to get our staff vaccinated. So, you know, we want to keep our staff, our, you know, our kids and our families as safe as possible.
With your physical site, what do you do by way of, you know, mask wearing, PPE, or sanitizing?
So we do all of the above and have this whole time. So, you know, our kids and our staff and anyone in the building has to have a mask on. We've limited our volunteers. Usually, you know, we have hundreds of volunteers that come through the building, and we just haven't had that this year. You know, we have, you know, local organizations that have stepped forward with cleaning products and sanitizer and, you know, done donations of masks for the kids so that everybody can be safe. When the kids were going back to school in mid-February, we shut down for a week and scrubbed this building back down again. We shut down for a couple days over Christmas and then a couple days when they went back to school to re-scrub everything down, shampoo all the surfaces, and then get us ready for an after-school care site again as school went back into session.
That is a lot of work to do, a lot of details to cover.
It's, you know, it has been, but like I said, you know, working with the other CEOs who's all going through this, we've all worked together on our plan. I will also say, our, you know, Mary and our board of directors, you know, they made the commitment to say, okay, you know, we're not going to open for a few hours after school. We're going to open from 7 to 5, and we're going to do whatever we can to keep these kids safe, no matter what the cost is to the club, you know. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about fundraising obviously being harder this year with, you know, not having a big events and not having big, you know, galas and things like that. But our community has really stepped forward to say, you know, we understand that you guys are working hard. We understand that you're serving kids, and how can we help you?
Mary, what do you think it will take for children to rebound from this and, you know, even the trauma they've experienced this school year?
Well, that'll be interesting to watch. I think once we get to the point where we can take our masks off, I think we'll see kids feel connected again to their friends, to the adults. They get feedback. You know, we are used to seeing facial expressions. That's how we know if we've done a good job or we need to to add to our communication. We're missing that. And these kids have got that component blocked off. So I'm hoping that during the summer we can be outside, and maybe once the vaccines are, you know, the community has been vaccinated to an acceptable level, we'll be able to take those masks off and the kids will start feeling feeling that things are getting back to normal. I'm looking forward to that for them.
Yeah. Mary Johnson is with us, mentor with the Boys and Girls Club of Oshkosh, and Tracy Ogden is CEO. We're looking at Boys and Girls Clubs and community organizations this hour that are reaching kids where they're at, filling in the gaps. You can join in with what is going happening in your community, steps you've been taking. 800-642-1234. Tracy, as you assess this whole situation in the pandemic, what do you want to see the schools, you know, doing to better support at-risk students?
You know, I think that the teachers have a lot on their plate right now. You know, one of the things that has come out of it is that it has really strengthened our relationship with the teachers, you know, being able to talk back and forth about who needs support and who needs more support. You know, the teachers that take the extra time to get to know their students, I think, are the ones that are just wonderful and extraordinary, and because they're able to see what else are these kids missing. We see the struggle with the kids of things happening at home and, you know, the unstable environment that they may be in. And then you expect these kids to come to school and be able to learn all day and then come here after school. It's a lot. It really is a lot. So I think that the more that the teachers get to know their students, the better off they are. And I think we're pretty lucky to have the teachers that we do.
How do you assess if a student is, you know, undergoing something at home or is at risk? They're not willing to talk about it. What do you do?
You know, they say it takes a village. It really does. You know, our staff do a wonderful job of getting to know our kids, you know, building that trust. Because once, you know, kids trust you, they'll talk to you. So like a Mary and like our other, you know, mentors in our program, the more time they spend with the kids, the more that they talk. And then it's just listening. It's hearing what they're saying. It's hearing, you know, different comments that they may make. Our teachers and our guidance counselors, they reach out to us at the club and say, you know, I'm hearing this. Are you seeing this? So it's really just listening to what they're saying, because at some point it comes out. It does. You can see behavioral changes. You can see kids who may not have showered, kids who are in dirty clothes, kids who are hungry and need to be fed. You keep looking. There's more behind the story, and there always is. So it's just really paying attention to what's going on.
Mary, may I ask, what gives you hope?
What gives me hope? I love being at the Boys and Girls Club. Any day of the week, you walk in there, and it is filled with hope. You just see the future and the action and the activity and the joy that is there. It is the highlight of my week. Oh. I love it.
Well, Mary and Tracy, thank you so much for joining us and for your work.
Well, thank you for having us.
Tracy Ogden is CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Oshkosh. Mary Johnson, mentor with the club and serves on its board of directors. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.